Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Bros Pod, Bill Roden on Sports. Been about a week or so since we last joined you. It's the summer. It's July. What's today? July 18th?
July 18th, yeah.
July 18th.
Heat wave.
Big time heat wave. Of course, my guy and co-host, Nabate Isles, in the house. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, Jamal? You good?
Good, good.
All right.
The great Bill Roden's on assignment. He's busy cooking up something for the undefeated. And we know it's going to be crazy, so look out for that. Look out for Bill's next piece coming out. Coming soon. Like Nabate said, it's a heat wave in New York. And for once, NBA has kind of calmed down a little bit. And we're talking about as of right now. Because we're gonna go recap what happened last week.
Because
it's not that long ago.
That's right.
But a lot of things been going on. We've got a lot to talk about. There was a huge trade in the NBA we haven't talked about yet, Nabate. I'm gonna get your thoughts on that.
Yes.
On what's going on in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But first, we're gonna talk about a little tennis for you guys. Obviously, Wimbledon was last weekend. The finals, the men's and women's finals were last weekend. You know, we've talked about Serena on past episodes. We talked about the men's field with Djokovic and Federer and Nadal and that, you know, those all-time greats. So they were at it again this past weekend in Wimbledon. Obviously, Djokovic won another classic final, tie-break fifth set, 12-12 tie-break fifth set. At Wimbledon, he beats Federer. Many people thought that, every time Federer gets to this point, we're like, oh, is this the last time? So of course, we had that dynamic again.
Mm-hmm.
Nabate, what were your thoughts on it? I know you're a huge, you're a Federer fan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a huge Federer guy.
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on that final and him in particular?
But definitely to be objective, too, it's just what's amazing about Federer, 37 years old, and he's able to still play at such a high level. And he hasn't really been injured in his career. That hasn't had a significant injury. And still plays amazing tennis from the standpoint of his shot selection, his accuracy, where he wants to put the ball, where he wants to place it. But throughout the years, though, we've seen Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic, because in 2008 was the Nadal-Federer final. I think that was still a better match to
right,
me
right.
than, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, because that had more significance. Like, Federer had a five straight Wimbledon streak, won
right.
five straight Wimbledon championships, going for six. Borg went to five, never went to six, because McEnroe took him out, and then Nadal was Federer's McEnroe and took him out to win. I think that was more dramatic
right.
overall,
Yeah.
But Djokovic, though, at 32 years old, he's obviously the best player in the world. He's been that way basically for the past 5 years. He's been the best player.
I agree, and he doesn't get that credit.
He doesn't.
Think that, I mean, if you're really watching the sport, I know mm-hmm. a lot of sports guys don't really watch tennis like that,
mm-hmm.
and then they jump in and talk about it.
Yeah,
for the Grand Slams, we actually watch tennis.
Yeah,
whatever. But I've felt for the last at least. You're probably right. You're probably right
last
on point.
Five
like
years.
Last 5 years or so, mm-hmm. Djokovic has been the best player.
Yeah,
whenever he matches up against either Nadal or Federer, he's pretty much a slight favorite, but usually he's the favorite.
Yes,
especially the last couple of years. The betting has come around to recognize how good he really is.
Mm-hmm. And he has a personality, too. Like, that's another. It's not like he's a deadbeat type of guy.
I don't think so either. But some people do accuse him of that, I noticed. I was watching with family.
And
I was watching with family, and mm-hmm. Of course, everybody was rooting for Federer.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, this, like, anti-Djokovic tone was there. I was like,
he
doesn't have a personality. I'm like, he's actually a pretty funny guy.
Yeah, he's funny, but he ate the grass at
right.
the end, but also
which,
too.
Which he got flack for.
But I give him a lot of credit, though, too, because he had I mean, he had a lot of meltdowns that affected his game. The mental part of the game was very behind his physical part, and right. he lost a lot of matchups, and he was inconsistent.
Early on.
Now he's put that together. His maturity is there. And I think he can end up, I mean, he's only four titles behind, Grand Slam titles behind Federer, only two behind Nadal. I think Djokovic is going to do it. I think he can win. And remember, if Federer could go to 37, Djokovic could at least do 3-4 more years. Because 37 is like,
yeah,
that, even almost. Jimmy Connors at that age was not, you know, he had that great run in 91, but Jimmy Connors was unranked.
Right,
you know,
right.
It wasn't like he was
not consistent
a top three player in the right. world, you know.
Right, that's where you got to give it to Federer, no
yeah,
question.
Right.
You got to give him your props. But that, you know, it takes us to the question of, you know, who's the greatest of all time? And right now, Federer has 20 slams. Like you yeah. said, Djokovic 16, Nadal 18.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's without question that these are three of the greatest, if not the three greatest
right.
of all time.
Yeah.
Playing right now in the same, you know, in the same era.
Yeah, we've never seen anything like this. Even in the women's game, closest is Chris Evert, Martina Navratilova, Billie Jean King on the tail end. Yeah, so basically, yeah, that was like the time, like then, and Margaret Smith Court. Mm-hmm. Martina, then Chris Evert later, and then Billie Jean King. So those four within a 10 to 15 year period, that's the closest we've seen,
right.
really.
And if you look at all time, I mean, those three are the top three mm-hmm. all time slams. When you look at Sampras, who we knew was great, 14, mm-hmm. Borg, 11, Connors, 8, Agassi, 8, McEnroe, mm-hmm. 7. So, I mean, it's hard to argue that just from the numbers, these are the three best of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. But then you look at the denominations of each, like, Federer has won 8 Wimbledon, 6 Australians, 5 U.S. Opens, but only 1 French. But still, it's spread out, you
right.
know, still even though he has that 1 French. Nadal, this is interesting, 12 French Opens.
Right.
You know, of course, he's the greatest player on clay ever by far, and no one will match him
because right.
he's only lost 2 matches in right. French Open history.
And we talked about that.
And one of them was retiring. The only one was Robin Söderling. That's a trivia question right there, Robin
right.
Söderling. And that's how Federer won his only French Open. He beat Söderling in the final.
Right.
But only 1 Australian, 3 US Opens, 2 Wimbledons. Don't get me wrong. Anyone would love
right.
that, you
right.
know. But still, that's not much of a spread, you know, like Federer. Then you have Djokovic. He 7 Australian Opens, 5 Wimbledons now, 3 U.S. Opens, 1 French, you know? So that's more of a spread than what Nadal has. So I think in their primes, Federer's the best still.
In their prime.
Because Federer's near perfection.
Mm.
In his prime was 2003 to 2009.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, that's prime. Yeah, he's the best when you look at, like, I think you got to compare their primes.
Interesting.
The overall games. So.
Yeah, because yeah. I've always kind of stumped by that question, but that's a good point,
mm-hmm.
which I don't hear too many people bring up. And I think that's why most people say that they're going to believe that Federer is the greatest of all time, regardless, even if Djokovic passes him
mm-hmm.
in yeah. slams. And I guess that's why, because he was so dominant.
Yeah, and perfection.
Right.
Like, yeah, perfection. So
it was interesting. Just the last thing on this is the ages. Like we mentioned Federer's 37, Djokovic's
mm-hmm.
32. Nadal's 33.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of feels like Nadal's older than that, a little bit
oh,
older
yeah,
than
33. Oh, yeah, because he's had injuries. Yeah, his injury dossier is, is way greater than Federer and Djokovic.
Yeah,
know?
He just puts more pressure on his body the way he plays.
Yeah,
his
absolutely.
Style of play. So, okay.
And
so,
also other accusations, too. But, we, you know, that's...
Hey, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
I don't
right,
know.
I'm going to accuse Hay, you know?
You know maybe
I'm
he saw Kobe's
saying,
doctor.
I'm just...
but, yeah, nobody gets on Kobe.
Mm-mm.
But let's talk about the women. Of course, Serena Williams, right? And, yes, again, she goes down in straight sets to Simona Halep. She had this was her third opportunity in the past couple of years to tie Margaret Court, who I know
yeah.
you're really rooting for that.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about that. Or I can just jump in.
I mean,
yeah.
whatever.
Please, Serena, yeah. pass Margaret Smith Court, okay?
Right.
That woman, her viewpoints are just unbelievably, like, vile. You know, like, seriously. Like, especially in this day and age where we're all about trying to be inclusive with everybody, you know?
She's
woo. So Serena got to do it for society.
But she's getting up there, too. And Serena is what, 37?
She's 36.
36.
36.
About to be 37,
yeah.
probably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are bringing up the fact that, you know, she's lost these last three finals.
But she got there.
But she got there. That's my point. Like, saying, yeah. Like when you think about 30, it.
She's 37 going on 38.
Oh, really?
So wow. Okay.
She's Federer's age.
Yeah.
So, which is amazing, right? And that's why, you know, people talk about, you know, she hasn't been able to close the deal, which is true. But like you said, she's gotten there, which is really amazing when you think about it. At that age.
Right.
Right? That she's gotten to three finals in the past couple years.
Sick.
You know, it's not easy to get to the finals.
Right.
You know, that's a real, those are real tournaments that, you know, it takes a toll on the body. Mm-hmm. And it's after she gave birth. Like, can she get some props for that?
That's right. And she won the Australian Open 2 months pregnant.
Yeah.
People forget that.
Right.
You know, like.
Right. Yeah, that's just, I mean, so it's amazing she's still as strong as she is, as good as she is. Mm-hmm. Now, at the same time, just getting there takes a toll on you, as we just talked about. She may not get one or two more. You know, it's not a given. Like you said, she's 37.
I think the good thing is that we don't have a dominant one or two women that are dominant consistently. Because Naomi Osaka, I don't know what's going on with her. She's, like, been dipping. Like, and ever since she fired her coach, it seems like, you know, I don't know if she's distracted or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when the U.S. Open comes, I see her as the favorite. I got to give it a, you know, she's going to be.
Defending champ.
Yeah, exactly. And I think she's going to turn it around, actually, for the Open. And, of course, there are a lot of hard court tournaments that are coming up, a lot of American tournaments. So I'm sure Naomi's going to have a nice run to go into the Open. But but this is Serena's chance, though. This was our chance. But
said that the last two or three times.
Yeah. But, no, I got to give Halep credit.
Yeah, she played great.
She played amazing throughout the tournament, and Coco lost to Halep.
Right.
So that's good consolation for Coco to think, I lost to the champ.
The champ
beat me, you know? Yeah. So
Coco, and we'll see her at the U.S. Open. We'll be there. We'll be covering
the U.S. Absolutely.
Open. So we're looking forward to that. And like you said, Osaka's the defending champ. Serena will be there. There'll be a lot of stories. Sloane Stephens won a couple years ago.
Yep.
She's a former champion. Madison Keys still trying to break through. You know, a whole bunch of stories.
It's a lot of, and I wonder Angelique Kerber, like, can she make a comeback? I hope, you know, like, so, yeah, it's just, that's what I mean about the women's game. It's like, kind of like, star that fades fast, you know, like there's no consistency like we see in the men's game, you know, but it used to be the other way around.
Right.
Like when you had Steffi Graf and Sanchez Vicario, Gabriela Sabatini, though, you know, you had that time period where they were all, Steffi was still, and Celis, you know, it's basically Graf and Celis, you know. And we all know what happened with Celis, where Steffi Graf fine did that to her. Celis would have been winning more Grand Slams.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. So, that one, never forget that. And just last thing on Osaka, you know, I like you said, she's struggled the last few tournaments. Let's not forget she did win two straight Grand Slams. A lot of these women would love to have two Grand Slams under their belt.
Both hard courts,
right? Both true. True.
You know, so that's her surface.
Right. Yeah. So, you're right. So the U.S. Open is back to her surface, and she's still obviously a very young player who needs to learn to win on grass and clay.
Yes, indeed.
So we'll see. So maybe it's not the coach. Maybe it is. We shall see.
Right. We shall see. But one quick question. What did you think of the tiebreaker stopping, you know, in the fifth set? The tiebreaker starts after 12-12. Like, what did you think about that? Do you think they could have continued? Like, they should have? Like, do you think it should always go infinite, like in the fifth set? Why did, you know, it's weird.
Well, it's a new rule. And I think they instituted this new rule, I forget when, like a couple of years ago, I think. But this was the first time
it had to be used.
That it got to this.
Yeah.
Right? I think it was a good thing. While I was watching it, I felt it was a good thing because I didn't think it was ever going to end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one was going to win two straight games, you know, service-wise.
When Roger broke.
Yeah, he had a chance.
Joker. He had 8-7 serving. And he had double championship point.
Yeah.
He was up 40-15.
Yeah. That's a
wow.
I mean, I want to get to basketball. But I mean, that's a, hey. I know it's blasphemous to say anything about Federer, and I'm not. He's great, but I've noticed this a few times, and usually I think it's against Djokovic. He's not really closing out, and it's not always that the other player beats him or beats him with a winner. You know, sometimes I don't know if it's mental with him. You know, people say it's sometimes mental with Serena when she gets to the final. Maybe she puts too much pressure on herself.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Federer is doing the same thing because I feel like he and it's not just this last match. I've noticed it the last three or four times he's played Djokovic.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you feel like, you know, he has a chance. There's a point in the match that he has a chance to take control and he just doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Where
mm-hmm.
in his prime, he would have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. His prime, he closes you out. That's right. It, you know. So, yeah, it's real, real interesting about that. Yeah, but I like that tiebreaker, though. I do like that at the end because it just
ends. And it was because of people like Isner. Remember, going to 20, it was like 20-something, 20-something.
Him and, was it Kevin Anderson and him?
That sounds right.
Or it was someone else, yeah. I'm thinking Kevin, maybe because they're both the tallest players.
Two big servers, you know, that never lost their serve.
Right, yeah.
Know? So, yeah, when Isner was there, I think he did it like 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
He went like into the 20s.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And that's why they implemented
it. It was already a five-hour match. Like, right. Really? You know what I'm saying? So, no, I like it. All right, so now we're going to get to the big sports news. NBA has totally taken over.
12 months of the year.
I mean, it's not a joke, mm-hmm. you know. The finals ended in June.
Yeah.
And where are we in? Late July.
Yeah.
And it's still NBA, NBA, NBA. And like on the edge of your seat, NBA.
Yeah.
You know, all the off-season stuff.
That's right.
And we saw, the last show, we talked about, you know, a lot of the free agent signings. We thought it was pretty much done. And then we get this blockbuster. What day was that?
Oh, the blockbuster of Kawhi Leonard.
No, we talked about that.
Oh, we did. Oh, that's right. Oh my God,
Russell
Westbrook going to Houston. That was last Thursday night.
And
a tweet by Woj came out around 8:30. Mm-hmm. I was sitting down having a drink, my local bar. Well, I have a couple of local bars. I love Fort Lee. It's great. Anyway, but I was sitting down.
Shout out to Fort Lee.
So yes, indeed. Saw the tweet. And was like, oh, okay. And yeah, it was breaking news immediately, and that was interesting.
What do you think? What do you think? Russell Westbrook, the trade. Russell Westbrook is traded. OKC trades him mm-hmm. for
Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm. Two big contracts. Mm-hmm. Russell Westbrook was actually, you know, had one more year on it. So really, OKC saved $47 million just taking on Paul and sending Westbrook to the Rockets. So there's a lot of angles. You know, my first impression was I felt the Rockets gave up too much because I'm like, who else? Who are they bidding against? Like, who else really? I mean, people talked about Miami, but Miami didn't want to give up too many assets. So it was like, why are they giving up all these draft picks? They ended up giving like four draft picks and some pick swaps.
Well, Miami didn't have much to give.
Right.
That's the thing, because they had contracts that some of them were expiring. Like Goran Dragic's contract is very valuable because that's 21 million expiring. But Miami just didn't have. They didn't want to give up Tyler Hero.
Right.
Which, if you want Brooke, you know, like.
But where is it going to take you? I think it does make more sense for Houston.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know,
they had to make a move just to, and plus Westbrook and Harden are best friends from Southern California, you know, and they knew each other back then. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they played 3 years together at Oklahoma City, and they got along better than Westbrook and Kevin Durant got along, you know. But Harden, you notice Harden was like the middle guy between both those guys. Harden loves them both, but when Westbrook and Durant would have these problems. But I think in the situation, it's like Daryl Morey had to make a move because Tillman Fertitta he's very demanding. He's very demanding. He's a Houston guy. He's always been a Rockets fan. So he's a true owner, you know, that really cares about winning. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of pressure. And then also Mike D'Antoni's offense is just, you know, D'Antoni's a genius when it comes to offense, you know, offensive schematics and everything like that. And, you know, you look at it, they think that, hey, make it work, you know?
Yeah.
Make it work. And it's he's younger than Chris Paul.
It's a good deal, especially for the
more
fan.
Explosive.
For us and the fans, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I even think basketball-wise, it's good.
Right.
I mean, Westbrook right now is a better player than Chris Paul. Yes, they do it differently. You could argue, you know, people are, you know, jumping and saying, oh, it doesn't, you know, the style of play, how's it going to work? Well, like you said, that's on the coaching to figure that out.
And the pressure's on him because he has no years left in his deal. This is last year of his deal.
Right.
So he's a dead man walking, kind of. Like, it's
even though, you know,
he doesn't deserve that.
Right.
He couldn't get a 1 year extension.
And he's okay.
At least.
And he's okay. You know, like, you know, someone else will give him a job.
Oh, for sure. That is
you know
true.
What I mean?
That is true.
So you got to have, so he must know, like, whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And he's so, but to your point, I mean, you know, some people don't like D'Antoni, but you cannot argue with him being a great offensive mm-hmm. coach. Like, that is a fact.
And he's a loyal cat. He's one, as you know, one of the nicest people you'll ever meet.
Right.
Like, he treats all media. It doesn't matter if you're ESPN or if you're, like, you know, some website or whatever.
Right.
He treats everyone the same. Like, he's a great man. And he's got so many people paid.
True.
Throughout the years, and he's loyal. When he sees that you buy in,
mm-hmm.
he'll take care of you with a he'll get you. He'll get you get a free agency deal because you thrive in the system. You're set for life because you'll get another great contract.
Right,
you know?
He's an MVP
or your first
he's an MVP
great,
maker
or your first great contract.
So imagine that you get Westbrook
and
who's already
players,
been an MVP.
Role players right. get augmented. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah, mm-hmm. no question. So, you know, you plop Westbrook into that. Obviously, one of the best talents in the NBA, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, he struggled shooting, especially last year
right.
and in his history. But there's no question he's a top 15 guy. He's only 30. It's not like he's 34 mm-hmm. like Paul.
Yeah.
Right? So he has some stuff in the tank.
Even right.
though he's not what he used to be, maybe. He lost right. a couple steps.
Yeah.
But still ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And you plop that, and now he has that kind of weapon in there. And I have confidence that D'Antoni's going to figure out how to use him.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And so they're scary.
And the great thing, D'Antoni's going to see how to use Russell in the mid-range game. Because Russell, he makes a concerted effort to get his mid, and he does have a good mid-range game at not all
he
the
does,
time,
yeah.
but yeah. Mm-hmm. So D'Antoni's going to look at that strength, Coach D'Antoni, and be able to put Russell in positions where he could use that mid-range game, and then James could still be out in the perimeter, kind of spread the offense more. You know, it's going to be amazing. But Capella, if they could try to trade Capella, because they would need a stretch five. They need a stretch five, and that will make them explosive. A stretch five that can also run to the rim, you know. That's,
right.
So, but no one's going to trade. Domantas Sabonis would be perfect in that system with them. But
yeah,
they're not trading Sabonis.
Yeah, no,
so I'm just giving that type of player, Domantas Sabonis. Ooh, they win the title.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, but I like Capella, though, even with that mix. Like, you know, running to the rim. He kind of he lost some luster last year.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go back 2
people
years,
figured
he
him
was
out.
A beast.
But yeah.
You know?
But,
you mm-hmm. know, and now you got Westbrook. He's turned himself into a much better passer. You know, obviously averages a triple-double.
Mm-hmm.
So they can move the ball around. I actually thought that they were contenders anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people were forgetting about them. Everybody's talking about everybody else because, you know, all the new additions. Houston has been there, you know, the last couple of years. They've been
right.
one of the top two teams, even if, you know, they lost to Golden State both times.
That's right.
Right? So
that's right.
I thought even if Paul comes back a year older, they're still going to be in the mix. So
mm-hmm.
you substitute that with Westbrook, who's just right now, like I said, a better player, and my confidence in D'Antoni that he's going to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're a legitimate contender.
Yeah, they are, and they will get they could possibly get the number one seed, you know, and they need that because they had that 2 years ago. They would need that even more now because the West is so much. There's so much parity in the West. So now you need the number one seed. You need home court in the first round, maybe the second round, for other teams, you know. But Houston, they're aiming to, and they're built to be a number one seed because Westbrook and Harden are going to be in those games, getting their numbers, and they're regular season guys when you think about it, too.
True, they show up,
you know, they
every game.
Yeah, every
and
game.
They, it matters to them.
Right.
Those stats,
exactly. You know, like maybe both of them could average triple-doubles, like the first time
first,
ever,
yeah,
two
first
cats.
Time ever. You know, they could share an MVP.
Right, exactly. You know,
on the same team.
And this will be me. This will be me right here. And if I was on the team, can I get the ball? Oh, right behind 3-point line. Can I get the ball?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Their teammates better get a lot of shots up in practice.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That's all I got to say.
Well,
but,
OKC, what was your take about OKC and what they're doing now? Because after it seemed like, is it true? Like, there's some reports that Westbrook was kind of open to being traded before the Paul George deal, and that maybe facilitated George to be open to Kawhi Leonard wanting him to join. Like, was that the case or something like that? Or, like, it seemed like Westbrook since the playoffs, like, it's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I didn't hear that. I had heard, you know, stuff about how Paul George and Westbrook weren't getting along like they were the previous year. So okay. Maybe it's the same type of thing. If that were the case, maybe Westbrook was open to it. Who knows? But I think OKC, as far as like Sam Presti, I think he did. I mean, they're doing a great job right now. I mean, were we going to be talking about them as a contender?
You know, basically after three straight first round losses,
they had the same team. Mm-hmm. Were we going to say we were going to put them in the fifth, sixth spot again? Mm-hmm. Right,
right.
And they must have felt the same way.
Right,
like what are we doing? We're over the luxury tax. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. what's the point? We're not going to win. We haven't even won a first round game. Mm-hmm. You know, with those two guys.
Right.
So you might as well start it over. Mm-hmm. And they got a lot for it. Yes, they had to take Paul's contract back. But to be able to get all those picks, man, I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. And then all the picks they got for George, they fleeced the Clippers, even though Clippers had to do it.
Yeah, yeah, you know, right.
And really, it goes for both. I guess Houston felt like they had to do it too. But my point on that was just you're already doing OKC a favor. You're saving them $47 million mm-hmm. off of the Westbrook contract. Mm-hmm. Like, but and you have to give them all your picks.
Right, right.
But I, you know,
and it's funny, it's interesting. But really, you think about it. The coaching, Billy Donovan, mm-hmm. you know, I mean,
now he gets a college team.
Yeah, and now basically, and you know what? That's the thing. And I think Sam Presti thought like, okay, I think it's easier to be able to get rid of these contracts and easier for Billy Donovan to be able to establish his own. Because Billy Donovan, the pressure he had this when you come in with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook.
Right.
And then
add Melo to it.
Yeah. And then so now it gives him a chance to be able to have that Shea Gilgeous Alexander able, you know, and everything to be there and stuff and be a rising star that he is. And then, you know, of course, like all the draft picks and everything like that. And then you have, you know, Hamadou Diallo, mm-hmm. Deontay Burton, mm-hmm. Those young guys that, you know, that really have talent.
The interesting thing is they still have some old guys. They, you know,
Steven Adams.
They still have Gallinari from the Clipper trade.
Which one more year in his contract. So that's they could just hold on to him. And they'll trade him at the trading deadline.
Right.
Because Gallinari will play with. Yeah, Gallinari will be out of there by February to be with a contender because he's on his last year.
But they have Paul next year. It looks like they might. I still wouldn't be surprised at all if they find a taker for him prior to next year.
Because they can't buy him out.
But now they're acting like they're going to go into next season with him. That's the latest. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Now.
Oh,
but
God.
I would. But
then they'll have to keep Steven Adams.
Right.
So then they have to keep him if you're going to, you know.
If you keep Paul and you have Gallinari, people are talking about, oh, they could be a playoff team still. I guess that's true, but the West is so stacked.
Not at all. They're a playoff team. No way.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Let me tell you, if that happens, then Donovan's coach of the year, Billy Donovan.
Paul just has a great season.
Oh, man. Imagine if he has a better season than Westbrook. Imagine that.
That's hard to imagine, though.
You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
You know, like, he could surprise people with.
No, I hear you. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Audible has over 180,000 book titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. For you, the listeners of the Bill Roden on Sports podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. We highly recommend that you check out the classic $40 Million Slaves, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of the Black Athlete by the one and only William C. Roden. An absolute must read. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/Bill Roden on Sports. Again, that's audibletrial.com/Bill Roden on Sports for your free audiobook. So let's look at a little wrap of the NBA landscape mm-hmm. now, right? Let's look at all these teams have two superstars now, at least, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or two superstars or stacked teams. LeBron and AD with the Lakers, obviously. You got Kawhi, Paul George with the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
You got Kyrie and KD, even though KD's out for most of the season, mm-hmm. most likely, in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Harden, Westbrook in Houston. Golden State still looks pretty good to me. Steph Curry, Draymond, Klay when he comes back, D'Angelo Russell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's exciting to watch.
Yeah.
Philly, Simmons, Embiid gets the. We'll talk about Simmons later. Mm-hmm. I want to get to that.
Mm-hmm.
But Simmons, Embiid, Harris, Horford, and Philly. Kemba Walker in Boston joins a pretty talented squad.
Jason Tatum is going to be an All-Star this year.
I like that pick. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Could be Jalen, too, is an All-Star. Yeah.
Maybe they both step up. Maybe they both step up. Giannis Antetokounmpo talking about he wants to repeat, don't call me MVP I win it again.
That's right.
In Milwaukee with basically the same team except for Brogdon. I know it's a big loss, Brogdon, but they added some pieces.
But Chris Middleton is his Middleton came back. Robin.
Mm-hmm. And they also signed Robin Lopez. Mm-hmm. They re-signed Hill. That's still a squad to me. People are sleeping on
Eric
them, too.
Bledsoe, too.
They won 60 games last year, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell in Utah with Bogdanovich.
Mm-hmm.
Another nice squad. Kristaps Porzingis, your guy. Kristaps Porzingis and Luka Doncic in Dallas. It'll be interesting to watch that.
Yeah.
And then we got my guys, Zion, Lonzo, Ingram, Favors. I love that squad.
You just slept on two teams. Ooh. You slept on Jokic and Murray.
Oh, yeah, I did.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm bugging. I should have mentioned
that. And then don't forget, you know, Dame Dalla. And CJ, you know what I mean?
I'm sleeping on him a little. I saw 538, ESPN 538 with the numbers. I think they left Portland out of the playoffs.
That's right. They don't know what they're talking about.
it's just numbers, though.
Hassan Whiteside, great pickup, you know, and Nurkic will be coming back soon. And they're still all right. I think Nasir Little, too, could really contribute. He can end up starting for them. This year,
he was so the thing with him, and I like that pick. Don't get me wrong, I like them picking him.
But
up.
If they think about
think he's
defense,
a few years away.
But no, emphasize defense though. And then you can
even because you look at UNC, he couldn't even really get burned there. Like he was a slow developer at UNC.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to think he's going to come in rookie year and do something in the NBA, I could be wrong.
But you could put him as a starter, and then but he knows he's the fifth option. But he's someone that he has
the athleticism
to defend, and that's what Terry Stotts could do. He'd be like, listen, you can be a 3D guy for us, you know, and like really do the little things. Teach him as a rookie to do those little things, you know. So I think it's possible. It's possible.
So let's talk Western Conference.
Mm-hmm. Oh God,
how do you see that shaping up? I mean, obviously it's early.
Man,
you know, we're allowed to change our opinions as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, what are you seeing in that Western Conference?
Well,
like in terms of like 1-8.
My sleeper team for top three is San Antonio Spurs.
Oh, you mentioned
it. I mentioned on the Hard to Tell podcast. Yes, because we forgot DeMarozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. That's a duo right there. And also, you have DeJounte Murray coming back. You have also Derek White, who was major in the playoffs. And this guy from Colorado, he's becoming an amazing player, you know, and you have him. You have also more young players, Jakob Poeltl, who's going to make a step up. You know, he's going to be their starting center this year. I think Davis Bertans. That was tough because Marcus Morris, they had that contract for Marcus Morris. That's why they traded Davis Bertans, you know?
Right.
And it's a shame because I know they would want Davis Bertans back. He's one of the best shooters in the NBA. He's a stretch. That's a stretch five, you know? God, he would be perfect on when I talked about stretch five. Houston. Oh, mm-hmm. Lord have mercy. Oh, D'Antoni would. That's D'Antoni. D'Antoni would probably be like, you can be my son-in-law. You know what I mean? But San Antonio overall, and they have veterans like Rudy Gay. You know, they have those vets that are there too. Oh, also Patty Mills. Brent Forbes is a good guy off the bench. They're a very deep team where in the regular season, that depth will help them be able to gain wins. Because remember, the Clippers and Lakers are building themselves for the playoffs, basically. I wouldn't be surprised if the Spurs were over them in the regular season and people are sleeping on them. And you know Pop has a team.
48 wins last year.
Yeah, that's what's crazy. They're winning 53-54 this year, for sure.
I mean,
And Lonnie Walker as well.
So you think
they're going to get him in a rotation?
So you,
I just named 10 players on that team without Marcus Morris.
But you think so? The other teams who people think will be at the top of the West,
mm-hmm.
Denver, Houston, Denver
Utah, will be possibly
and
number
the,
one.
LA teams. You like San Antonio over which of those teams?
I like San Antonio over Utah. I like San in the regular season. I like San Antonio over Portland. I think it's going to be Denver, Houston, San Antonio.
Denver, Houston, San Antonio.
top three. Okay. Then you have
so you think Clippers won't be top three.
Oh, but it's going to be close though.
Oh yeah,
that's what
yeah,
I'm saying.
It's always
it's not,
close.
Yeah, yeah. Like they're winning 50 games. Both teams are going to win 50 games. I see like 750 win teams in the West. Remember that season when it was 850 wins?
Well, there were five last year.
Yeah. So, but there was a season where all eight teams. It was when Oklahoma City was the eighth seed in the playoffs. And they I don't know who they lost to, but they won 50 games that year. That's when they were really emerging with young Westbrook, young Durant. That I remember the Western Conference had 850 win teams that year. Mm-hmm. I remember that. So I can see that happening. Definitely seven will win 50. It's going to be close. That's what I'm saying. But the teams with the depth are the ones that are going to be able to win those games, like, you know, the easier games, you know. Also, too, they could be able to sit like Jokic. If Jokic is injured, they have enough depth to still win Denver. If DeRozan's injured, the Spurs have the system and enough depth to be able to win, you know. So it's going to be interesting. And DeJounte Murray, that's an all defensive team talent right there.
Right.
You know, and he's back. That's a major difference.
It's just this West, man, is so stacked. Some people have the Spurs out of the playoffs. Even I don't. I can't go that far.
They don't know what the hell they're talking about.
I don't see how you
seriously
leave Pop out of the,
seriously.
He, you know, every year, and he, like you said, he has some horses.
Oh yeah, and from all, like I said, prime guys, older vets, and young guys that are actually future all-star caliber guys. You know, so
you don't see Dallas or New Orleans sneaking up in the playoff mix.
Okay, Denver. I mentioned Denver, Houston, and San Antonio being top three. Then you got Utah, Clippers, Lakers, Portland. That's seven. Those seven teams are making the playoffs.
So, yeah, the only one from last year that you could say is probably out is OKC.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. So those are the seven. Now the eighth seed, I think New Orleans will be.
Well, remember
the
Lakers didn't make it.
And the Lakers didn't make it either. Yeah. So we're missing. Which other team is out too?
Golden State. We don't think.
Oh my. So I think Golden State gets in over New Orleans.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well,
New Orleans. I love New Orleans, but they're still gonna be.
They're still They're 1 year away,
and only because it's this beast of a West.
Yeah, like, that's the only seat. That's the only reason. Yeah.
I mean, I think that they could win 40 something games.
Yeah.
But it might not be enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
So that I think Golden State. I'm not saying Golden State will be an eighth seed, but those are the eight teams in the playoffs for me.
And Dallas, you don't see it.
Nah, they're 1 year away too.
With your boy Carlisle, great coach.
Oh, great coach, for sure. But also remember, Porzingis hasn't played in a year and a half. He may not be the same player. He may not get back to his prime until the 2020-2021 season.
That's definitely true. Eastern Conference, a little easier to handle.
Mm-hmm.
I still like Milwaukee. A lot of people, it's between Philly. It seems like the consensus right now is it's between Milwaukee and Philly.
Philly, yep. And then Boston's up in there.
Boston's up in there. The Nets. You know,
Toronto's still a playoff team.
I agree with that. Orlando's probably better.
Yeah, Orlando's better. The Nets. Indiana, too.
Indiana's better.
Yeah, Indiana.
The young teams like Atlanta might have a chance.
Oh, that's right, Atlanta.
The Knicks. Some people are saying the Knicks have a
chance. I think the Knicks have a legitimate chance.
To make the playoffs.
Yes, indeed, because you got veterans there that are on short contracts that are showcasing themselves. And also, too, they have good heads on their shoulders. Like, Taj Gibson is a true vet. You know, right. Like, he's a true glue guy. Elfrid Payton is a guy
stays healthy.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is that they're all going to push each other in practice. So the young cats are going to have to step up.
They got so many forwards. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the only guarantee.
You're going to sit the young guys?
Right. It's interesting. The only guaranteed starter is Julius Randle. The other four positions are up for grabs.
Yeah.
Robinson may not. I'm just saying. Mitchell Robinson's first team in summer league played great once again. So I think.
And he was first team all rookie.
Yeah. I think you have definitely Julius Randle 100% starting. Mitchell Robinson.
I think he probably slapped Mitchell Robinson.
85%. Mm-hmm. You know, 85. But he has to develop more of a game. He has to start doing that, start getting a mid-range jumper and stuff like that. But also, Rudy Gobert, you know, he can be like Rudy Gobert, and that's pretty good, you know. And then R.J. Barrett, 75% chance to start. Right. Other than that, all the other positions are for grabs. Knox is definitely not guaranteed to start.
Not
Dennis Smith Jr. is definitely not guaranteed to start. You know, so Elfrid Payton is a better player than Dennis Smith Jr. right now. Elfrid Payton is a two-way guy.
He's proven more in the league.
And a triple-dub guy, too. He had a streak of four straight triple-doubles one time.
Right, he was good last year. So. I had him on my fantasy team last year.
Exactly, you know, but he defends. Great perimeter defender, so.
Good stuff. What about the Nets? What do we think the Nets are going to do? Without KD sitting out a year?
I think they're
Kyrie, LeVert.
I don't think they're a top four seed this year. I don't think so. But
so you'd have Indiana ahead of them, or Toronto.
Well, no, I have in no particular order: Boston, Philly, Milwaukee, Toronto or Indiana. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Brooklyn, and then Brooklyn could be the five seed, you know, or something like that. But I don't see them being above, you know.
Don't forget the Heat with Jimmy Butler probably sneak into one of those bottom.
Yes.
Five, six, seven. Slash,
that's right.
Something like that.
Yes.
Maybe five, six.
Right, right. So
Spoelstra.
Mm-hmm. You have that. Yeah. And then you know what? This I got to tell you, there could be a team in Chicago that could make a huge jump this year, as well as Atlanta, too, to make a huge jump. But Chicago, don't sleep on him, because Jim Boylan, they've bought into him. They've bought into his tough love.
Just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, they really bought into him. Well, he's an assistant for the longest time. You know, been on benches. Like he's been in. You know, he's a lifer. You mm-hmm. know, Jim Ballin. But
I mean, in terms of their support, remember he was just supposed to be a stopgap.
Right, right. He was right, and then it was controversy his first couple of weeks
right.
with how he was relating to the players. But they played hard for him as the season went on, and now you look at Zach LaVine. He comes back. I mean, he's even more better. He's more healthier now off the ACL. Laurie Markkanen's in his 30s. He's ready to make a huge jump. Otto Porter is someone that is a good 3-and-D guy, you know.
Also,
Wendell Carter. Yeah, our guy. And also Daniel Gafford is going to be pushing Wendell.
He looked good in the summer league.
Yeah, he's going to be pushing Wendell. And also you have Satoransky, who's a good vet. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, Chris Dunn, there's pressure on him. Kobe White.
The,
you know,
good.
Denzel Valentine, who's a Swiss Army knife guy. He can come off the bench. So, and Chandler Hutchison, too, did well in summer league. He's a guy off the Chicago.
It's interesting. Yeah,
they're disciplined. They're a much more disciplined team than they were under Fred Hoiberg, you know. So,
all right, a couple things I wanted to touch on.
Mm-hmm.
Personal, like soapbox issues. I've been seeing going around in Twitterverse. a couple things dealing with one Ben. Let's start with Ben Simmons. It's really mm-hmm. about. I want to talk about Ben Simmons. The narratives, these sports media narratives,
okay,
drive me crazy sometimes. Mm. And you know, I understand why some people agree on the other side, but fine.
Mm.
But Ben Simmons and Zion Williamson. Okay, so let's start with Ben Simmons.
Okay,
he re-signs a big contract,
175.
170 for five. All of a sudden, you know, I hear a lot of hate out there, like for that, like as if Philly wasn't supposed to do that, as if there was even a question.
Yeah, you had to.
As if this kid isn't that talented. I get it. Hey, I was a critic as far as his shooting too. Yes, he needs to develop a jumper, but he's 22 years old. Okay, this stuff was bothering me so much. I had to go back and look at some numbers. Okay, he averaged. This is his second year playing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he's getting a lot of hate out there. Right,
right.
Second year playing, he averaged 17, 9, and 8. As a second year player, 17 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists,
mm-hmm.
I think, or maybe the 9 and 8 is the other way around. I'm not sure.
Right.
But 17, 8, 9 and 8, okay? Made the All-Star team in his second year.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, he's actually made the team, not like D'Angelo Russell was a replacement.
Third technical season, but right. second well,
but
on it, the court.
Yeah, on the right, court, right, right, right. Okay? At age 22, I went and looked at his numbers compared to Antetokounmpo. At age 22, and at that time, the Greek Freak was in his fourth year,
mm-hmm.
okay, at age 22 in the league. It was his fourth year. At age 22, Simmons averaged more points. He averaged more rebounds. He averaged way more assists.
Mm-hmm.
He shot a better percentage. The only thing that Antetokounmpo did more was shoot threes. He shot one three a game compared to Simmons, who shoots none. So just because this dude does not shoot any threes,
mm-hmm.
people think he's worthless?
Yeah.
Are you,
yeah.
like, you...
And he's a good defender too, Simmons.
I forgot about
and
that.
And he's a good on-ball defender, you know. So
and he's 22. He's
length.
Going to practice
his shooting, I promise you.
And it was an interesting stat on Ben Simmons, too, I saw, which said he's finished with a value over replacement player. A value over replacement player over four in each of his first two seasons.
Right.
Only five players have ever done that in their career.
Ever.
Alvin Adams, who was a perennial all-star in the 70s for the Phoenix Suns, good center, like, and an athlete. You know, he was part of that Suns team that took the Celtics six games in the NBA Finals in 1976, I believe. Yeah, 76. Larry Bird, okay, in his first two seasons.
Pretty good player.
Penny Hardaway, who was a Hall of Fame caliber player in his first 5 years in the league. Shaquille O'Neal, all-time great. David Robinson, all-time great. Ben Simmons. So a value over replacement player of over four in his first two seasons. Only those five other players have done that other than Ben Simmons.
That's crazy.
You know, but Ben Simmons needs to start. He needs to get his jump shot together.
Well,
he has
take
to.
Them. My only thing is his take the shot.
Yeah, because his average field goal, 5.6 feet from the hoop. His average field goal.
But still getting 17.
You know, but he has to, like we were talking about, we talked about this off air for a long time. Just shoot. Jason Kidd, I remember someone compared to Jason Kidd, and I'm like, well, at least Jason Kidd shot.
Yeah, it was ugly, but
he'd
shoot.
Yeah, it was ugly, but he would hit the big shots when he had to, especially in New Jersey. You would think he was a great shooter with all the clutch shots he hit. You know, but Ben has to just force the defenses to go towards him. And just,
I think. They got to respect you.
Yeah, I think.
But he's 20. My thing, people act like, I mean, serious so-called basketball minds really act like he is a finished product.
Yeah, he's not.
He's 20. What did I just say about Greek Freak at 22? What were you saying about him? He's done?
Like,
he's never going to be anything?
But I got to tell you something, though. He got to get his free throw shooting, too. Going.
He does. These players are growing.
But if he doesn't have an outside, at least Jason Kidd shot well from the free throw line.
True.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? That's
and
what I'm
Magic
saying.
Too.
So
Magic,
so
is
Magic yeah, at least he shot well from the free throw line. Mm-hmm. And also, like, the Magic Johnson comparisons, it was a different game. When Magic came in, the three-point line was 70. Yeah, that was his rookie season
but
when
I
the three-point line was implemented.
He wasn't taking set mid-range.
Exactly. So, no, I think, Ben, I will start to really criticize after four seasons, you know, after the next 2 years, if he doesn't at least hit. If he does like 25 for 80 or something, or 25 for 90, I'm fine with that. That's, you know, and then increase it little by little.
I mean, do what the Greek Freak did. Mm-hmm. Like, this year was really the first year he even started taking threes.
Yeah, yeah.
And people, you know, try to make fun of this. We're in the social media age. Everybody got a clown. Yeah. You got to jump on them as soon as they have a couple bad games. They're trash. As soon as he didn't win the playoffs, now he's trash, doesn't deserve the MVP. Come on.
Because he just has to be held accountable, Simmons.
That's fine.
He wasn't held accountable at LSU.
You know what
I mean? Like, and that maybe
well,
that
LSU,
mindset
yeah.
is still, you know, like, because he should have been even better, but still he's first team All-American.
The next thing, and you're probably on the other side of this because we've argued about this guy, Zion Williamson.
Mm-hmm. I don't see him as top five. All time.
No, but I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the shape issue. Okay. Does everybody need, I mean, we have to talk about this ad nauseum because as if we didn't see him at Duke. He was in shape at Duke. People act like, you know, he's like notoriously out of shape or that we know for a fact that his weight is going to be a problem. We don't even know for a fact. We don't know. We haven't seen anybody like him.
Yeah, he's not going to have a weight problem. Can't wait to eat.
Right.
You know, Robin Harris.
All right, you got that. But I'm just saying, like people are like, oh, like if it was just you or one of two people saying it, but everybody jumping on it, like, oh, well, you know, he's going to have to keep his weight down and da da da. How do you know he's not going to? Like he didn't have a weight problem at Duke. He looked in great shape. But I had to look up his numbers at Duke. Even it's college.
Oh,
do you
my
know?
God.
Do you know
one of the greatest seasons in the history
his
of college basketball?
Well, was 40.8. The closest person I could find. I tried to look it back at all
since the era.
Since the era is
Anthony Davis was 35 points.
That's
something.
Right. That's you know, right.
Like even there were some people in the 30s who had great seasons. I can't remember who I looked at, but there was no one close. Like his true shooting percentage at Duke was 70% true shooting percentage. And he's not like Simmons. He was actually taking a couple threes. He finishes around the rim without dunking.
And what made him great at Duke, not just statistically, but the things that don't show up on the stat sheets.
Right, the effort.
The effort, and also his intimidation factor. I never forget that Michigan State game, that Elite Eight, I was there for the Sweet 16, but not the Elite Eight.
Oh, okay.
I wish I was there, though. Mm-hmm. But I had to come back to the city for a gig, you know. With the intimidation, like, I forgot who it was from Michigan State that was going to drive to the hoop. But then when he saw Zion right there, he got shook.
Right,
that's
right.
What I mean. Right. The little things, the intangibles, his intelligence, his IQ,
right.
That's what made him special.
Right.
Not just statistically, but the other things, the instincts he has, incredible instincts.
Right. And the out of shape thing, yes, he was out of shape for the summer league, but he's also like the most... You know, he's the most
polarizing
guy since LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then a small market team gets him. So they're sending him all around.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing every damn promo.
Mm-hmm,
who knows?
Mm-hmm.
He's eating cake.
Yeah, right.
They're having ribbon cuttings for him.
He did an Instagram story of, like, I remember before the draft, of like chicken fingers and like honey mustard and fries. Like, and this came out, I remember, around probably 11:30 at night.
Right.
I said to myself, I was like, dude, you can't post that. You know,
right, you can't post
if you're going to do that, if you can eat that, fine. You can't. If I was his agent,
because that's
like,
what they eat at Duke. When you're a college kid, you eat like that. But also, he was in the gym every day. So you can kind of, at this age, you can kind of eat like that if you're working out every day.
But you know what? Or eat like that, but not late.
Right.
Not late.
But I'm just saying, right. At some point, when he gets to 25, 26, you can't eat like that. Or whatever. Maybe maybe even later.
Mm-hmm.
I know I can't eat like that. I used to be able to eat like that in my 20s. It's a wrap for me now. But I'm saying, but when you're in the gym every day, you can't actually get away with it, you know, especially in the teens.
Yeah, right.
Now, when you're like a real NBA player in your 20s, and you're LeBron's not eating like that, you know, even in his
20s. Oh,
man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yes, you're right. But he didn't. I just feel like people must not have been really watching. There must be a lot of people who didn't really watch him in college. They saw the highlights. They saw the dunks. He looks kind of big if you first see him.
Mm-hmm.
When you watched him play, shape was not an issue.
He had 11 points in 9 minutes in that summer league game.
Out of shape.
And you know, right.
And we were joking about. I joked, and you got on me because I said. I was joking because he was dominating, like he was dunking on people, and people were still scared of him when he went to the rim.
Right,
and I'm like,
course.
And he's clearly not in shape. I'm like, out of shape. Cool. He's like, out of shape. He's like Barkley. He's still like Barkley. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I said, I would love to be compared to Barkley.
Of course. Of
you
course,
know what I'm saying?
Course.
Like, if he's Charles Barkley level, that's top 20 all time. He should be very proud.
But I went, speaking of PER, which is one of my favorite stats,
right.
Advanced stats, I was looking at it. On the NBA level, and I was looking at the top five PER guys per year, and you know Chuck was never there, know, and that's kind of what I see, or what I my expectations are for Zion, like to be in those top of around PER when he's in his prime, whenever he gets there, because now that's where Greek Freak is now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's either 1, 2,
Anthony
3.
Anthony Davis is always there.
Anthony
LeBron.
Davis was number one for a year at least.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron went like 5 years in a row as the number one
PER guy.
But Shaq too.
Right, but Chuck is different though, because Chuck, the thing with him was that he still did everything with rebounding, and he wasn't the greatest defender himself, you know.
Or but passer.
But he had to take shots on his teams, you know what I mean, and stuff like that. And he had kind of a selfish mentality, too, like
early
as that
on.
Star. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but Chuck still,
he was great. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, in terms of, like, those true top five every year guys, who can do it all, especially now in today's game.
Right. Right, exactly. Yeah. Now, especially defensively and everything like that, which is more, and also too, the game is different as well. You know, the game is just truly different. So
yeah, so I mean, that's my thing with Zion. I don't stop talking about it. Like, talk to me when October, when the regular season comes around, and if he's out of shape,
in the regular season, mm-hmm. then I'll be like, okay, I can't say anything. That's crazy, right? But don't you play one game Summer League after all this mm-hmm. celebrating that you're the number one pick.
Yeah.
You're the most hyped guy ever.
Right.
Well, probably ever because of the social media.
Yeah.
You know? And now you want to talk about he's a problem and you're worried that he, you know, he'll never be in shape. Come on, man. Pick another topic. Go to that. And the Simmons thing, too. I don't want to hear it. Like how he's, you know, how he's a, you know, he's a finished product. You don't have no faith that he's ever going to be anything more than he is. He's 22 years old. He was just an all-star in his second year. Mm-hmm. You look at his numbers. Find for me how many 22-year-olds in the history of the game have 17, 9, and 8.
Yeah. And then what I mentioned too, that value over replacement player, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's you know, the value, meaning like if he misses a game, you know, who replaces him? And TJ McConnell was like the last 2 years. But, oh, speaking of TJ, this is crazy.
What happened?
There's only been four players in the NBA that's had TJ as their, you know, names, right?
All four.
No, check that. TJ Ford, who's retired, you know, of course. A very good player out of Texas and a speedy point guard, you know, had back and neck issues that messed him up. But also he was undersized too. But then you have Indiana has the other three TJs.
Yeah, I knew they had three or four TJs.
TJ Leaf, who was from UCLA. TJ McConnell from you know, from Philly. They got him in free agency. And TJ, oh, who's the other TJ? I'm spacing.
Yeah, I can't remember who it is.
TJ Warren, because they got TJ Warren
from
Phoenix
NC
Suns.
State.
Well, yeah. NC State and a scorer. Could score with his eyes closed, TJ Warren, you know. So that's an underrated pickup by the Pacers because they got a guy that can straight score and a guy that can play over 30
and
minutes.
And a proven NBA scorer.
He
nobody heard about because he was in Phoenix.
Right, exactly. And now he'll get to play 30 to 35 minutes. He'll drop 22 points a game for sure. And then when Victor Oladipo comes back, which will probably be, I would say, All-Star break around there, Oladipo doesn't have to try to carry the load.
Right.
You know, you have Warren there who could be able to score, and Sabonis is going to be scoring more. And Brogdon, he's more of a Swiss Army knife, but efficient. And then I forgot Jeremy Lamb is on there too.
Yeah,
so that's why Indiana is and they defend and Miles Turner
and their coach.
Miles,
look at the job he did last year. Even after Oladipo went out, they still stayed in that 4-5 area for way longer than we mm-hmm. thought.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, no doubt.
McMillan can coach.
Yes, he did.
Bird hired him.
That's right. And he fired Frank Vogel to put in McMillan, and it looks like that was a great move.
Good luck to Vogel with the Lakers.
But why doesn't he get enough respect? He took the Indiana Pacers to two straight Eastern Conference Finals and gave Miami tough series. You know, I don't understand that.
He has a chance now to get some respect.
Yeah.
If he does something with that team, he's going to get respect.
Yeah, absolutely.
No matter what. I mean, some people take away, you have LeBron and AD. Hey, I'm going to give you credit if you make that work.
Uh-huh.
You know, with all that pressure, mm-hmm. all the outside influences.
No doubt.
All right. So that's our little NBA free agent recap. We're about to get out of here soon, but before we do that, we got to bring in our producer, Aaron.
Uh-huh.
It's Aaron time for our trip and check. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, Jamal. How are you?
Good, good.
Good to see you guys again.
Good to see you, as always.
Well, this week on Trip and Check, it's a little bit sad. Mm. Raquana Williams from the LA Sparks, suspended for 10 games, and has to do therapy after an alleged incident where she, quote-unquote, attacked her ex-girlfriend. I'm not sure if... So I had to know what is the right word to use, attacked, but something happened.
Assaulted,
sure. Yes, she allegedly punched someone and then threatened to use a gun on another person.
Oh.
This happened in April in Florida. She was lucky. The Sparks re-signed her, but the WNBA did their own investigation mm-hmm. outside the police. They interviewed witnesses and apparently consulted domestic violence consultants or experts. And so 10 games is about... a third of the season, so it's a lot. And she's not going to be paid either.
Yeah, and especially with the salaries in the WNBA, that takes a chunk.
From reading the story, she was straight thug life with it.
Well, really.
I mean, like you said, she gets into a fight with, I guess, her partner, her former or ex-girlfriend or whatever. They're in, you know, then someone tries to break it up and she gets a gun pointed at the guy who was trying to break it up.
Yeah. You know,
like, that's real.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's hood.
Well, so what I didn't get to look up before I came on is that, like, when you heard about this with like other sports, does this sound pretty typical, like the type of suspension she got? Because I feel like didn't Ezekiel Elliott get like six games?
Yeah, that's pretty. Well, and
for
that
football
was
though,
football.
Out of a 16-game season,
yeah,
6 games is a lot.
That's a
how
lot.
Many games are in the NBA season?
I don't know. I'll find out.
But it's a short season too.
Yeah, it's like 30 games probably around there. So that's like 33% around 30 games.
I mean, for that type of charge, you know, I'm trying to think of a male, like a basketball player where that's happened to. I can't remember brandishing a gun. It's been a while.
Yeah. Cause and you look at, with Zeke, less than 40%, that's like 36-37% of the games he lost, you know? So
you got 34 games.
34 games. Yeah. I mean, I think she's getting off, you know, a little lucky there.
Right.
When I think about it.
Could have just like totally the whole season.
Or like not even signed her after that. I mean, now if let that happen in NFL now, I mean, even though the NFL is you know, I mean, it's probably just for show, you know, it's not like I'm saying that the NFL is on some moral high ground or anything.
Right.
But nowadays, at least when something happens, they are like teams are just dropping the player like Kareem Hunt. You know, the incident in the hotel, they cut him.
Yeah, straight up.
He did get re-signed. But the team he was with cut him.
And then supposedly there's another video of him getting some argument or something. I'm like,
obviously he has issues.
I'm like, my man, get put yourself in a situation. You know, like,
seriously.
I feel like the NFL is so inconsistent with. It's like,
of course.
I didn't mean to bring him up as like some kind of example. I take it back.
Yeah, no, I'm glad. I think I'm glad that I don't think the WNBA is tripping. I think you got to take domestic violence seriously.
Yeah.
I'm also glad to see that the media is not sensationalizing it because it's two women. Like, I think this is like how you should report on domestic violence. Like, this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's going to happen to her, you know.
Well, it's interesting because when I think either you or Bill sent me the article and I retweeted it. Like, I went and tweeted it out. And in my mind, I was like, wait. I was like, people might come at me like, "Oh, you're publicizing this negative aspect, but what about the positive stuff? WNBA, do you tweet about that?" And I was thinking like, what would I say to that?
Like,
that's true, you know. So I did it, like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to, you know, glorify the negative when you hardly even talk about the positive stuff,
right?
So I mean, it's definitely not a good look for the WNBA, obviously.
No. And for her. But I think we can start talking more about the WNBA so we can.
Right. I mean, well, their All-Star game is Saturday, by the way.
That's right.
I don't know what channel is it on. I couldn't find it.
And it should be ABC.
And that
ABC?
Is a problem.
Should be ABC, Saturday afternoon. Okay. Yeah, ABC.
Not a problem with you, just a problem like that people
we should know.
Yeah. And the skill set is incredible. I remember I look at the All-Star games because of, I mean, the skill set's amazing. And then their playoff series, I mean, oh, man, like. They deserve a lot more credit and a lot more exposure. You know, I'm thinking maybe lower the rim a little bit, make it above the rim for these ladies, like make it 9 feet rims and have them alley-ooping and dunking, like, and more of a faster game. Like, it should, that could probably help, you know?
I mean, they already use a lighter ball.
Yeah, right. And they're already athletically, like, gifted. So, yeah.
These are big women. Like, you know, when you see them, like, you know, you're talking about 6'5", 6'4", you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, you know, you got guys out here who think they could beat them one-on-one. No, it's not happening.
Yeah,
right now. It is not happening.
No, God. No, I wouldn't even try to challenge. No.
Like someone recently, there was somebody was tweeting about, like, some large percentage of guys thought that they could win a point off Serena.
Right.
You know, I'm like, word.
Every year people want to challenge her. I'm like, okay.
You're right.
So it's the same thing with WNBA. Like, people think they could beat them, like, could score in a one-on-one. Like, Only maybe if you play D1 ball, maybe, you know, right. And you're still in shape.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Can we just talk about Ayesha Curry for 2 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
She's back in the news again. Mm-hmm. People, I feel like people just, like, if you look, like, I feel like Michelle Obama gets a lot of love and Ayesha Curry gets a lot of hate. And ever since she went on Red Table Talk talking about she doesn't get attention.
Which I find that hard to believe. You know,
right, like, she's beautiful, yeah.
And but, not just but beautiful, not, but also being Ayesha yeah. Curry, you know,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
But so. also not, I also can see how that people just kind of, especially if they, I think when people respect men, they will go out of their way and they'll, like, ignore the woman. At least that's been my experience. But she was Millie rocking. I don't know if you guys have seen that. It's a dance. She's getting dragged for it.
How's that dance go?
I was like, I will have to show you.
I probably seen it. I don't know the names.
I'll say it first. It's a good thing I'm not married to Steph Curry because my Millie rock would be terrible. It'd be like, what are you doing?
It wasn't that bad.
I was like, and she's clearly like having fun with her husband. Like, it's not like she was. Like, on So You Think You Can Dance or something. Like,
he responded to that. Did you see his
response? Oh, no, what did he say?
Yeah, he responded on Instagram, on the Instagram stories, and he was just saying, oh, I see it's a slow news day, and y'all want to talk about this. He was like, let me know when you're Millie rocking it at your restaurant opening. You know,
right.
You just do a shot.
Thank you. Good job, Steph. I appreciate how he comes through for his wife.
Oh, that's then, right. That's what he got it.
And then
know?
He started yeah. he started joking around and dancing, I think, after that, so.
Yeah, I'm just like, really, people? Like, she's... I thought she looked cute. But, yeah, she people... There's
no,
so
she has haters.
So much hate.
I mean, okay. I mean, she has haters, but she's also... Like, she puts herself out there. So
yeah,
if you
she
put
does.
Yourself if you put yourself out there in the public,
people
you know,
gonna
space,
go for it.
You're going to get some people who love you, some people who hate you. And nowadays, with social media, you're going to get a lot of hate.
Right.
You know, especially... Steph Curry gets a lot of hate.
He does.
So his wife is going to get a lot of hate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, she has personality.
She does. So she has opinions.
I'm sure she seems to be handling the, you know, the criticism well enough. You know, that doesn't seem to bother. She's not staying in the house.
Right. No more. Right.
Yeah.
And I love that. Like I said, Steph comes, he backs her up, which is good.
That's right. Yeah. That's the great thing. Like Steph coming from a great family. And that's his main focus about family and building that. I mean, his family is just impeccable. And, you know, Dell and
Sonia.
And Sonia, yeah, Curry. Just wonderful, you know, and they met in Virginia Tech together, you know, like which was so nice, you know. So it's like you could tell Steph really that's his image. He wants it's based on family. It's based on that, and him and Ayesha have such a deep bond. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to see. So,
no question. Yeah. No question.
I'll be practicing my Millie Rock not on the camera. No one can. Not that anybody will care, but yeah.
Yeah, I ain't Millie rocking out here. Yeah. I'll tell you that much. Yeah.
You know, I got to, you know,
I might tear ACL or something.
I'm sure. Is it like this, right? Is this the Millie Rock like that?
Nah, like, it's like some other. You've seen it. You've seen it.
I'm sure I could do it.
We're not going to describe what Navante just did, but that was not.
I think that was the WAP.
The WAP. Okay. No, nah, I can do that. So, But no, but I got to keep up with the young cats.
Yes.
You know, like,
I actually watch dance videos quite a bit. I try, like, and try to make sure. At least, even if I can't do it, I know what's happening, which is good.
Yes, good to know. Yeah. Good to know. You could keep us up to date.
Oh, I like, have tons of dance videos I could share.
Good stuff. All right. So that's about it for us. A little quick NBA free agency wrap-up, Wimbledon and Trip and Check.
Mm-hmm.
WNBA news, all that good stuff. Like I said, check out the All-Star Game, WNBA All-Star Game on Saturday, ABC,
right.
I believe. Should be good stuff. You know, we're here in New York, the Liberty, Kia Nurse, Tina Charles will be there, Elena Deladon, Brittany Griner, some other people will be there. They got some talent.
Yeah. They do.
Liz Cambage. She's a beast, though.
No, she is a beast.
Yeah, she can score like...
And she has an entertaining Instagram page, by the way.
Oh, really? Oh, I'll have to check it out.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes,
okay,
indeed. Yes, indeed. But, so that's a wrap for us. We will see you guys next week or hopefully next week. It's summer, so we got vacations and stuff coming up. It's the dog days of summer, July, so we might be a little slower with stuff
as the sports scene slows down a little bit. But
you can just listen to some of our older episodes. Yes, that are
there are plenty of those. Yes. Plenty of those good ones. So check us out. As always, interact with us on social media at BrosPod on Twitter and Instagram and on iTunes. Rate the show, comment on the show, all that good stuff, so we know what you want, what you like, what you want to hear in the future, and we will try to provide that for you. Once again, I'm out. Jamal Murphy. Check me out on at Black Itologist. My guy, Devontae Isles.
Yes. NSI.universal on Instagram, and also to Nabate Isles SMT on Twitter. But I want to mention something real quick before we go. I'm organizing with a couple other musicians, organizing the 90th birthday celebration of Charlie Persip. Great drummer, significant drummer in the history of the music. Played with Dizzy Gillespie, Billy Eckstine, a lot of different people, and he's influenced so many younger musicians through his years. He's not doing well health-wise, but thank God he's going to be there on Saturday. It's going to be Saturday afternoon from 1 to 4 p.m. at the National Black Theater. The address is 2031 Fifth Avenue between 125th and 126th. So please come by to benefit for him, too, to help support his medical and overall expenses and everything. So check it out online as well. So National Black Theater, Saturday, July 20th, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., Charlie Persip, so his 90th birthday. We got over 65 musicians participating, including Jack DeJohnette, including Barry Harris, Busta Williams, Jeff Tane Watts, Sherman Irby of the Jazz and Lincoln Center Orchestra, et cetera, et cetera. So
good it's stuff.
Sounds
beautiful
awesome.
Stuff for him. Yeah,
good stuff. So. Aaron Mathewson, our producer.
Hello. You can find me not Millie Rocking at Erin on Air. That's ERYNONAIR.
And of course, Bill's with us in spirit.
Yes.
He's finishing up another article. So I'm sure he will be back next time you hear from us.
It's on Kurt Flood.
It's on Kurt Flood. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ooh.
Okay.
Big yes. one. There you go. There you go.
This was fun, and we'll see you guys next week.
Yes. Peace.
Listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.